Scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and reading verses 25 to 40. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, Christmas has come and Christmas is gone. But the question is, what impact has it made? What difference has it made? What comfort has it brought to us? It cannot be that we just go through certain rites and ceremonies and then we continue our way. No, Christmas reminds us of God's comprehensive comfort that he's brought to us. That's the way Isaiah was told to speak. Comfort ye, my people. It was to bring peace into the hearts of God's people. It was to bring satisfaction. It was to bring contentment into our hearts. All the weariness of life, all the struggles that life brings, and the fears that beset people. The comfort that God brought through his Son was to take all that away, to strengthen us, to live lives that are full of joy and peace and comfort and hope. Christmas and its message is not a passing phase. It's not just to turn our thoughts to a particular topic and then once that's over, we carry on with life and carry on with the struggles that we have. Then that's not what the gospel is. It's a permanent fix. It's an eternal fix It has the power to transform us. It has the power to speak peace to hearts and lives that are filled with unrest and instability. It is the power of God that speaks as the Lord Jesus Christ showed in a very physical way. It speaks peace such that the winds and the waves stop. And we have rest for our souls. And that's what Simeon and Anna experienced, and many others with them, by the way, not just them. I mean, they are highlighted as examples to us all. That it wasn't just a favor to them, it is to all of us. Even as our Heidelberg Catechism reminds us of. I mean, that's the way it starts, doesn't it? What is your only comfort in life and in death? That's what the gospel delivers on. It's not to take some one little problem away. It's to take all problems away. It's to give us comfort in life and in death. So that we can truly testify to the fact that we have peace in our hearts. And so there was this search for consolation, for contentment by Simeon. That's the way he's described. That he was one that was looking for the consolation of Israel. I mean, what a blessing that he knew that there was consolation. He knew there was hope. He knew that there was an answer. After all, the Old Testament had been speaking about it ever since the beginning of time. But it was a promise. It was something that they looked forward to. But he was searching for it. He wanted to see it. He wanted to experience it. He wanted to see it with his own eyes. And so there he was. Looking. Desiring it with all his heart. And until we come to that point, we'll never have it. I mean, unless we desire it, unless we know that it exists, and it's precious, and it's something to be had, then we will make an effort towards it. But if we think that it doesn't really make any difference, we're not going to make any effort to get it either. We're not going to look for it. We're not going to go to places where we can hear it because we don't put much value on it. We might indeed give that impression. It's the right thing to do. But if your heart is not set on it, then it's like getting your children to do something and they really don't want to do it. They really don't want to do it. But they go through the motions. Maybe you want them to have music lesson, but they really don't want to do it. But they dutifully go every week and they sit there, but really, they really don't want to do it. And you know as well as I do, after a little while when they stop, it just fades away. Because they were never interested in it in the first place. Now, the gospel can't be treated that way. No, we need to know how precious it is. And Simeon knew how precious it was. And he continued to look for it. He never gave up. He continued to wait and pursue it. That's the way we need to view the gospel. It's that precious jewel beyond price that we want. And then when we have it, we hold it tightly. We protect it. We never want to endanger it in any way. That's why when we teach our children, they need to know how important that is. They don't just dutifully go to Sunday school or dutifully read the Bible, but rather they see that it's so important. And as the Bible said, it is able to make them wise unto salvation. Wiser than all the counselors of this world. To salvation. But we have to demonstrate that in our own lives before we can teach them that. And we're told about Simeon, we're told that he was an old man. I mean, he didn't say, well, now I'm old. What use is that going to be to me? I mean, I lived my life. I've done all of these things. I really don't need it now. I mean, that's not the way he did that. And neither do we find then in the church seniors that would say, well, you know, I lived my life. I've done all of these things. I can just, you know, ease up on the gospel and those, you know, religious things. I've done enough. I trust that you don't experience that when you talk to our seniors. When I speak to them and visit them, I don't find that. In fact, the love for the gospel increases even more. Even more. They haven't tired of that. Even though they believed and served the Lord and followed him all of those years. They haven't tired. They haven't said, well, now I can retire from religion. No. It is their comfort. It is their rest. That's how glorious the gospel is. Are there many things you do in life and then you retire from them? And some people are happy to retire. They're done with that. I've had enough of that. But not from the gospel. Absolutely not. But he was also a Jew, we're told. He was an old man, an old Jew. And yet he was still looking. You might say, well, what was he looking for? He was a Jew after all. Didn't he have everything in the Jewish religion? Didn't he find contentment? Wasn't that enough? Well, obviously not, right? Otherwise the book of Hebrews would not have to be written. If that was enough, he could have just stayed and said, fine, I've got it. I don't need anything else. That's exactly the way the Jews looked at things. But the book of Hebrews says, no, you've fallen short. You can't stop with the Jewish religion and the rites and the ceremonies and the law and the promises. Promises are nothing unless they're fulfilled. Hope is nothing unless it's realized. And so Simeon, even though he was old, he was still looking for the consolation of Israel. He was still looking for the promises that God had made, many of which we've looked at in Isaiah, and many, of course, in the other prophets as well. In fact, from the beginning, as I said, of the scriptures, we're told of those promises. Well, he took those seriously. And he didn't put his hope in the way that they were explained in the Old Testament and the images and the sacrifices that were helping us understand. No, he knew that they were only pointing to the consolation of Israel that was yet to come. And that's where he fixed his eye. He didn't fall into the trap that the book of Hebrews tries to warn us against. No, his eyes were fully fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was a righteous and a devout man. I mean, it's not that he was a criminal. It wasn't that he was, you know, doing bad things every day and he was pursuing that. He was a devout and a righteous man. But it still wasn't enough. It still wasn't enough. He walked according to what God had revealed. I mean, if anything underlines the truth that I just mentioned with respect to Hebrews, it's this. He was a devout and a righteous man, yet he knew there was still something to come. And he was looking for it. The Jews weren't looking. They didn't need anything. They thought they had everything. But no, he was still looking. We don't put our hope in rites and ceremonies. We don't say, oh, well, I go to church, everything is fine. Oh, I do this, oh, I do that. No, no, no. If you don't end up with the Lord Jesus Christ, you have nothing. You have nothing. You may be well respected by other people, but until you come to Christ Himself, you have nothing. And so the book of Hebrews spends all those chapters hammering away at that. He is the only hope that we have. He is the consolation of Israel. And he was living in Jerusalem. But being close to the activity doesn't make it happen. We need to be in the right places, by the way. If we're not hearing the word of God, how is it that we're going to receive faith? If we think, well, we don't have to go to church, we don't have to do this. Well, Simeon could have said that, couldn't he? I mean, he could have gone and retired somewhere. It's all about me and God. I don't have to be in a certain place. But no, God has his avenues of grace. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so he's there in Jerusalem, in the temple, waiting. But he was guided by the Holy Spirit, we're told. The Holy Spirit was upon him. No one makes this journey in and of themselves. No one has a bright idea. You know, I should pursue faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I should find things about it. No one does that. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. No, it's the Holy Spirit that works in us and leads us and guides us. But we have to follow. We have to walk in step with the Spirit. We have to listen to what the Spirit says. Quench not the Spirit. And so the Spirit works through his word. And Simeon followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that brought him where he should be. Simeon was blessed by the Holy Spirit because it had been told him that he would not die before he saw this consolation. The Lord never sends us on a path without encouraging us not to give up. And the promises of God are given, and they encourage us never to give up, because God will never renege on the promises that he's made. Wherever you go in the scriptures, so we can take them to the bank, as it were. We need to pursue them with everything that we have, because God will always make good on his redemptive promises. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It doesn't say believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and, well, maybe. No, you will be saved. You can count on that. God does not revoke his promises. And so he was led by the Holy Spirit, led by the Word of God, all the promises that God had made in the Old Testament. He took them seriously. And he was encouraged by the fact that God had made that promise to him by the Holy Spirit. And even though he is old, he didn't give up. He didn't say, well, you know, I waited long enough, I tried, but no, it hasn't happened yet. So he continued, because what he was aiming at was so important, so important. Everything depended on that. And so he goes to the temple. I mean, where is God going to fulfill his promises than in the place where he put his name, where people have worshipped for all of those centuries? And so he goes there, waiting day after day. You know, maybe you go to church once, and you think, well, it didn't make that much of a difference. It wasn't that exciting. So I'm not going to go again. Well, I guess it wasn't that important to you after all then. I mean, that's like somebody going to a college class, and first day, and they say, yeah, that wasn't that interesting. Wasn't that easy to understand either. I'm not going back. You don't get far that way, do you? No, he kept going because God had made these promises and he wanted to hear them and he wanted to see them and he was there. That was the place to be. How many people just ignore churches? Oh, I know there are some churches that need to be ignored, but there are many churches where God's word is preached. They need to go. They need to sit there and hear God's word and cry out to him that he might be merciful to them. But as he was in the temple, lo and behold, in God's wonderful timing, Joseph and Mary bring the child. And there he is, Simeon is, and he sees them coming. And by the Holy Spirit, his eyes are enlightened. He sees, he understands who this is, that this is the consolation of Israel. He's not disappointed. He doesn't say, well, an infant? Is that it? I've been waiting for an infant? When we're looking for a Savior, we didn't say, did we? A lamb? He's giving me a lamb? Is this it? I would have wanted a lion to defend me, but you sent a lamb? Yeah. It was a lamb. A lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. And there he saw the child. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ, people, that this comfort resides. It is he that provides everything for us. In him are all the promises of God. And without him there is nothing. Back to the Hebrews warning. Without Christ you have nothing. And so he takes him up in his arms. And he blesses him. And he gives testimony of his understanding. That now he says, for my eyes have seen your salvation. That's the way he sees the child, Lord Jesus Christ. This is our salvation. This is our forgiveness of sins. This is our right to be called the children of God. This is our place reserved in heaven for us. It's all wrapped up in him. And he takes him in his own arms. It's not just a personal thing for him, but he sees that this is a hope of all the world, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. It's to all nations. If we don't see the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of all the world, then we don't see him correctly at all. If we see him as only one option among many, we don't really see him at all. He's the only salvation that God has provided. And how thankful we are that he's opened our eyes to see him, to embrace him, to trust him, to find in him all that we need. He is our glory, as he says, and the glory of your people, Israel. He's the one that we glory in. He's the one that we look to. He's the one that fills us with strength and hope. In all those times that we are down, in pain, in suffering, not seeing the hope that we so much desire, but we always keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will never disappoint. And whether we're young or whether we're old, whatever it is that we face, with the Lord Jesus Christ, we have contentment of our soul. And he finally gives expression to that, the depth of the comfort that God brings. Because what does he say? He says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. Depart where? Depart from this life. That's what he's saying. He's ready for death. He's fully comforted so that even death itself isn't something that disturbs him and fills him with fear and uncertainty. just as we began. This is our comfort for life and death. This comfort that God gives to us, it will never leave us. Even in the throes of death itself, the gospel will keep us afloat and give us strength that we need. This is how precious the gospel is. This is how precious the Lord Jesus Christ is. But sad to say, as Simeon says to Mary and Joseph, this child, precious as he is, and full of hope and comfort, he is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel. Can you imagine? All of this wonderful redemption that God has given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is going to be, what, the fall of many? Who has heard our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Isaiah already spoke about it. And we see it fulfilled in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Was he thronged? Was he honored? Did they come to him as the religious leaders? No. They parted to put him to death. That's what they did, and they crucified him on the cross. But even in their opposition, they only fulfilled God's redemptive purposes. People of God, Christ is not going to be too popular, and neither are you when you believe in him. But don't fall. Don't fall. Don't neglect him. No matter what the world says, let us believe in him. Let us be known as the children of God and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will have this comfort that will provide all that you need in every circumstance, even in death itself. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you've opened our eyes to see the blessed child, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And our Father in heaven, many of us have experienced the joy and the comfort of that of all ages. And our Father in heaven, we pray that it may have an impact on all our young people, that they too may see the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all who hear this message, Lord, that they too may recognize the consolation that you've sent, that they may embrace him with all of their heart, and Lord, that they may live their life to your honor and to your glory. Hear our prayers and receive our thanks, for we bring them in the name of our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now stand and respond as we sing from the Red Hymnals number 649.